You're listening to Shumpcast, the show the AFP doesn't want you to hear. Your hosts, Tony Nardella and Dom Sorbara.
Hello, welcome to Shumpcast. I'm Tony Shump, Ralph Nardella.
And I'm the big dude, Sorbara. Sorry, but Clayton Jacobson's on today. I'm so excited.
Yes.
He's got all that bloody green screen, blue screen thing, you know, all the Hollywood people come down and use it.
Anyway, green screen and blue screen.
What? Well, I don't know. We'll get him on the show and ask him all about it. He's got some massive, like, construction where they can make movies and that, you know. And you can put anything you want on it. It cuts a lot of time.
Definitely come a long way. I think it's called CGI, I think they do that. And
imagine if you had that when they did Kelly.
You
can do the
poos in LA. We've got a green screen in our studio here.
Yeah, we don't know how to use it.
Maybe we can go up there and use his one.
Maybe we just shut the hell up and get him on the show.
Hang on.
What are you doing, mate?
We did have him on the show. I think it would have been our first season of the show. We spoke about his filmmaking in his early days and all that. But today we're going to have him on the show.
That was an awesome movie, yeah.
Yeah, his brother Shane Jacobson there. Who do you think's more talented, Clayton or
Clayton,
Shane?
He plays the big Tom Bone, the bass.
He's got that advantage.
The old people rocking and rolling that, yeah.
Like you, Dom, you're multi-skilled, you know. You can sing, you can dance.
The triple threat. I can dance, you can yell and scream.
And all sort of stuff, you know.
Hurry up! Move it! Well, I want to talk to him, I don't want to talk to you, I talk to you every day. What do I want to talk to you for? Get him on!
All right, as Jimmy Dalambarina would say, No more to do.
No, hurry up.
Here he is. Clayton
Jacobson!
Okay, please welcome to Shumpcast again. We had him, about two years ago.
One of our favourite guests, yes.
We had a boy.
Oh my God.
I remember we did that Shumpcast with you, Clayton, back then, and I remember Dom getting home and he rang me up. I think it was probably 15th episode or something.
Yeah, something like that.
And Dom rang me up and he goes, "Oh, gee, how good was that? How good was that with that Clayton guy?"
Bring me undone.
Yeah,
Are you going to introduce him or not? Introduce him. Here's Clayton Jacobson! All right, you can ask the first question.
Now, Clayton, before we... What's that? First thing we got to ask you, Clayton, you know, we're so excited to have you on, but one thing we want to ask you is probably how you go to book the Shumpcast for, I think it was for last night, and then you text me saying that you had your wife's birthday.
What?
Yes.
you forgot your wife's birthday.
I've got a bit of a history of being a bit... with remembering people's birthdays, and sadly, the one that seems to cop it the most is my wife. It's just the amount of time. We're a little bit kind of lazy with birthdays, and so it's very often that we'll look at one another and she'll go, "Oh yeah, by the way, happy birthday." I'm like, "Oh geez, yeah, okay, yeah, good." And then
I'm probably the same. I the wife will say this or that. I go, "Oh, is that on tonight or tomorrow?" Yeah. So you just sort of anyway. But you're more worried about your friends than your family, I suppose, sometimes.
Well, ultimately, you're more worried about your family, but you let them kind of take a bit of a back seat because you don't want to be seen, you know, publicly to be a jerk. and luckily, thank you for letting me do this morning instead of last night, because now I'm... We're not getting divorced. We're going to hang
on. Oh, good.
That's good.
All right.
So it's all good.
All right, so the reason why we got you back on the show, because when we spoke last time, you had the dream screen.
Yeah, we want to come.
Talk about that, the dream screen. What do you actually do up there as far as, I know it's like a CGI, is it?
Yeah, Well, it's kind of a it does involve some computer graphics work, but essentially what it is the new kind of take on green screen and blue screen. Like when in the past, when Hollywood wanted to do a, like an effect shot, they'll put a person in front of a green screen or a blue screen, light it, shoot it. Then, you know, in post-production, they will add the backgrounds. What we do is we make it possible for the film production companies to have that footage all finished and wrapped up on the day of shooting. And the way we do that is wow. by using these very large LED screens, essentially just very big televisions.
Yeah.
And when I say big, you know, we're talking 15 meters by 5 meters and, you know, and beyond.
Yeah.
And we put the imagery behind the actors. And when you shoot it through the lens and using all of our kind of motion tracking data, which allows the computers to know exactly where the camera is and where those perspective changes should be when you move a camera,
yes.
that all gets spat out onto the screen. And so if you're looking through the lens of the camera, it looks very real. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, basically we can transport people, you know, anywhere around the world or, you know, intergalactic sort of, you know, worlds or very real sort of backgrounds. We can either play stills, filmed footage, AI-created backgrounds, right. or CGI-created environments. And we've been doing that now for, since we last spoke, for about 2 years. And so we've worked on a lot of Australian and American product. We did. We worked on the NBC Universal show called La Brea, and we built a very big... you know, screen at Docklands, and we worked on season one and season two with that.
Yeah.
And of course, the Docklands have since moved, have had Nant move in with their large screens, which is one of the biggest LED screens in the world. You know, they cater for the very large Hollywood projects, and we cater more for sort of local, you know, film and TV and what have you.
So Clayton, it cuts down a lot of time, doesn't it? Like to make
money?
Yeah.
It certainly can do, and it can help you with logistics. You know, we did a job in here for a, you know, for a retail company where they were planning on, you know, it was summer and they wanted to shoot for their winter collection of coats and jackets.
Yeah.
And they were planning to have to head overseas to do that. And then when we demonstrated that we could, with a little bit of props and a bit of trickery, we could do all that here in, you know, in Epping, Melbourne, Victoria. That's what they did. They came here and they shot their full range in the summer, out of season.
Yeah.
So, you know, they saved themselves on flights, accommodation, travel. You know, the only real expense was, you know, getting our local Italian cannoli cafe.
We love cannoli.
We've got a fantastic cafe around the corner. I love those lovely ladies around there. They're doing a great job of fattening me up. I love it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, they taste great, too.
So how many people work up there on this Dream Screen?
Well, we have a core group of about six, and then we upscale and downscale depending on what kind of jobs come in. So if it's like a music video, we'll probably keep it around four or five. If it's a big sort of TV drama or a Hollywood, you know, project, you know, it can expand to about 10, 15.
Yeah.
It just depends on what everyone's after.
And who come up with all this? Like, whose baby is this? Who come up with all those ideas?
Well, mine really. It's you know, I'm not suggesting I invented virtual production because the bottom line is I think a lot of people had the same idea at various times, but I can pretty clearly demonstrate that I was playing with this sort of stuff way back as early as 2003, 2004, because I was directing commercials and. Yeah. I found that the traditional way of doing special effects was so cumbersome and so slow.
Mm.
And, you know, I'd come home and my son was, you know, only about six or seven, and he was playing Xbox games in real time, you know, moving a character around in real time in a world. And I was saying to him, I remember saying to him, God, I wish I could put an actor in one of your games, you know. And that's where the idea kind of started. So I did some tests way back in 2004.
Yeah.
The gaming, the quality of the games back then weren't, you know, the graphics weren't that realistic.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
I kind of went, well, it's kind of cute. I mean, it'd be good for a low-budget film or something like that.
Yeah.
Then about 2009, they got better.
Yeah.
And then I contacted Ubisoft. And I did a series with my brother starring in it called Mordy Coots, M-O-R-D-Y-K-O-O-T-S, Morty Coots, a spoof on war. And we used all of their war aeroplane backgrounds and what have you, and that was really successful and went really well and demonstrated very clearly that there was a future in this. But again, the graphics weren't quite sort of realistic enough. And so we waited, and then about 2016, the new raft of VR headsets came out from Vive, and I saw what they were doing with Unreal Engine, this sort of gaming engine, the platform they used to make games on, and I said to my son, who was now a teenager, we should look into this. And so we set up the first, Australia's first virtual production studio in my back shed in 2016.
That's right.
couldn't get anyone interested in it. No one was interested in it. And so I went back to making movies. I made Brother's Nest, my second movie.
Yeah.
And then we were about to do my third film, and I had Guy Pearce attached, and we had Ben Kingsley actually for a short while.
Oh, Ben Kingsley!
Sexy beast.
Dandy.
Ben. Yeah. It would have been great, but unfortunately Marvel swooped in and took him from us because they offered him obviously more money.
Oh,
and we were about to go to Bulgaria to shoot over there, and then COVID hit. And so it was the lockdowns and not being able to go anywhere and productions having to halt that made me think, you know what, this is the perfect time to get Dreamstream going, because be done in a factory and people can still socially distance from one another, and it might be a good solution. So that's how it all started.
So how did you actually get the actual, you know, the setup, the, like all the gear and all that? Did you have a, like an investor or something to
Well, I've had a long-standing relationship with the angel investor, as I call him, who was basically the owner of Splashdown Toilets, who financed Kenny. He's always been for me on my projects, and he came on board, and we got some investors together and created the company, and you know, 2.5 years later we're still going.
Unbelievable. So that's start gone. You go.
Have you got his number?
I don't have his bank number, if that's what you're asking. But look, I've been very, I've been very lucky with investment, and you know, to be fair, I make sure I put in 400 to 500%.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, all through your career, you've made friends, but you've put in. And they wanted you to hang around, and they believe in you. So well done to you.
But you've got to give back. You know,
Well, you've got to put the work in, don't you?
You guys know this. You're making movies. I saw your movie recently.
Not quite on the same scale.
I really enjoyed it. It was fun. You got to tell me, was that character based on anyone you know?
I based it on my dad and a lot of my dad's been dead from 91, but and a lot of sort of those Calabrian hard men, you know, sort of don't show love, but they, you know, show it in different ways, and
that was beautiful, because I got a sense that that might have been the case. It's what I love about those kind of, you know, it's what I did with Kenya. It was a love letter to my uncles and my dad. And the men in my life, that were there when I was growing up. Yeah. Well done.
Thank you very much, Matt Clayton. You're a great bloke. That just made me.
I know.
Gave me butterflies.
I was a bit worried about sending it to you. I said, look, I thought we did a good job. You know, I mean, we shot it in sequence, like you told us.
Oh, did you?
Remember, you did the Brothers Nest, and you were saying that you shot it in sequence because it was easier for you. You know, like locations and stuff.
Not sure if I would advise people to do that, but if it worked for you, I'm glad.
Me
and Dom got into an argument, you know. Yeah. I said, I want to do this. He goes, no, shoot the way Clayton shoots
Tony.
Yes, that's
right. Yeah.
Oh, no.
He knows better than you.
Yeah, and see, it worked.
But no, it was good fun. We shot it, I think it's just one morning, and we just shot it in one morning.
Yeah, we just went.
Oh, did you really? That's all shot in one morning?
Yeah.
Well, we shot it started about 9:30, finished at about 1.
Yeah.
But I've got to tell you, we weren't happy with the heart attack scene at the end, on the couch. I said, Dom, I don't think it's right. Yeah. I want to do it again. Yeah. He was a bit reluctant, but in the end, we did it.
Yeah.
And he was happy in the end. Yeah. So
That's great, and you're still mates, which is what really counts. Because you know, when you make movies, can get very, very fiery, can't it?
That's what I was going to ask you, Clint. Like, how did you and Shane like get on? Like the whole time you were shooting that brother's.
Well, you've got to remember that you know I'm his eldest brother, and there's 7 years difference. So just putting it politely, he just does whatever he's fucking told.
big brother's rule. Big brother's rule.
Yeah. No, that's not true. No, the great thing with Shane is that there is 7 years difference between us, but it never feels like that. It did when we were younger, but now that we're sort of much older, we're people think we're twins.
Yeah, I know. You sound the same. You look the same.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, our parents are incredibly. They weren't particularly creative when it came to having children. Even our sister looks exactly like us. So, you know, she's got a beard, you know, balding. I'm lying, of course.
I know, of course you are.
Yeah.
But it is one of those things. In fact, both of my sisters, make Shane and I look like very poor imitations of human beings. But no, I was very careful when we were doing Brothers Nest. You know, being honest here, I was very concerned about whether or not we would get along. We were tackling sort of subject matter that I knew, you know, was a serious kind of filming part.
Yeah, yeah.
And I thought, you know, and so we were living together. We were both living in one apartment together. And what I did was, which I thought was pretty clever, was I brought my son along and he was on the film and for two very good reasons. One, he's smarter than me and better than me at everything.
Yeah.
And number two, he adores his uncle.
Yeah.
I needed someone that I could trust, could look at me and go, yes, I believe your performances.
Yeah.
And I knew that your own son knows when you're lying or not.
Yeah.
So I thought he'll be a good judge of my performance. Yeah. But not only that, if anything happens between Shane and I, just having Jesse there in the room will keep, and it was actually a really, it was probably one of my most favourite memories of working with Shane was on that film. So it was, really good.
I thought you were going to say that he was the only one that could probably stand in between you and be the referee. I thought you were going to say. But
well, he's bigger than Shane and I.
Well, there you go, see?
He's a mountain of a man. And he could have easily just slammed our heads together if he wanted to, but no, he's a sweetheart. Most big people, like really big giants, are usually gentle. And we should be thankful for that, because if they weren't, there'd be none of us left.
I know, right?
Wipe us all out, you know?
Well, we have to get him on the show, Shane, and see, get his version or his what he thinks.
No, I reckon get your son.
But you should get him at some point. He's developing a game. He's been working on a game for about 5 years, and it's getting a lot of attention. And it's called Renown, and it's made a Steam 150 wish list. And I say that like I know what that means, but I don't. But it sounds really good. I hope I'm getting all this right. You know how when your parents tell your friends what you do, they always screw it up.
I remember
telling everyone that I was a sound engineer. Believe it. Stuff with sound, you know, engineering. And I go, what? You know, will you tell us that? Hey, your mum did. I may have actually got it all wrong. You know, maybe my son is doing something completely different. Maybe he's into gaming. Maybe what that means. Maybe he's down the casino right now doing some kind of shady.
Yeah. You can win like this, just buy this, download it.
But I've been really proud of him because I think he's making a game and he's made it onto this wish list, but maybe it's a hit list.
So he's actually making one of those games, or is it a game show?
Yeah, it's a combat game.
Okay.
And it's called Renown, and they really have done an amazing job. It's a small group of Aussie developers, and they've had very little funding from anywhere. It's all been self-funded, and you know, mums and dads and what have you. And they're only a year off getting it released, and they've put thousands and thousands of hours into this. It's really slick. They've got a lot of gaming influencers interested. And, you know, I'm being as nice to him as I possibly can, because I don't know if you know about when a game sells and a movie sells. Like if a movie sells, like when Kenny did really well, I worked out that for the 4 years that I made that movie, if I'd actually cleaned toilets for the same amount of hours, I would have made four times as much money. But, and you know this, right? Because I'm sure you didn't get paid making your movie, right?
Yeah. So,
and then, but with gaming, you know, games, when they sell, and they can make $600 million. So I'm trying to be as nice as I possibly can.
We're in the wrong game.
You know, even if I just get a little bit of that, you know, if I can just squeeze the amount of money out of my son. And let's be honest, you only have kids so that they can either work for you or look after you when you're old. You know, and I'm lucky. I'm right now.
How old is your son, Clayton?
He's 27 last time I checked.
27?
Wow. That's
I was going to say, is it okay to ask you how old you are, Clayton?
How old
are you?
I'm 60 years old. And,
60? You're only a little puppy. You're a puppy. You're only 60. Good on you, young fella.
So does that mean you're 61?
Yes.
Yes. He's a smart guy, Clayton. Yeah. Very smart.
You're very clever. Yeah.
No, it is funny. As the older you get, I remember when I was a kid, you know, I remember anyone that was sort of over 30.
Oh, nice. So old.
You know, like anyone that was 60 was like, they're like the lift. That was a walk. So now,
Just a number, mate. It's just a number. It's just a number. In the end.
Is it okay for me, Tony and I, because I can't say me and Tony because my sister's a school teacher. Is it okay if Tony and I come and have a visit and have a look around at your thing, or is
Dream
it...
Screen.
Yeah.
The Dream Screen, yes. Yeah. Come over and look at my thing, not so much, but come over and look at my Dream Screen.
No, that's Tony, not me.
Yeah.
Sorry,
Yeah.
Nah, but there's a lot of tobacco shops up there in Epping, so you've got to buy tobacco. So while we're in the area there and we'll drop in.
Fair enough. Yeah, you've got to be quick with those tobacco shops.
Hey, Clayton, why Epping? Like, I thought you were in the city or something.
Well, originally we looked at all those sort of close to city locations, to be completely honest, the rent was just a struggle.
That's what I was going to say, Tony.
But also, I live about 30 minutes from here, so it was it wasn't too much of a journey. But also, I should say, we are also toying with the idea of maybe moving a bit closer in, where there's some exciting things on the horizon that I can't talk about just yet. But we're looking at maybe going into a bigger facility, so closer to the town. But, you know, we've liked it here. We love Epping. It's a nice area, and you're right close to the ring road.
Straight up the ring road.
It's not that far, yeah.
Not that far at all.
Yeah.
Plenty of parking.
It's good. And, you know, it's, as I say, it's been good to us, so you know, I can't complain.
So we can come up one day when you're doing a big commercial.
We'll call you first, of course. We're not going to just...
Absolutely. You're more than welcome, guys.
Love to show you.
I really need to see that setup, because the way you were describing it, I mean, like...
This looks pretty amazing.
This is the first in Australia, isn't it? Like...
It's not now. There are others now, but there's still not many. I mean, Victoria really is the virtual production capital of Australia at the moment. We've got down here. So, you know, there are universities that have, we work with a lot of the universities teaching their students how to use this gear and stuff like that. Yeah. So, look, you know, I think it's going to be here to stay for a while at least, until AI completely, you know, gets hold of us. Yeah. That's interesting, watching the advances in, artificial intelligence. You know, I think it's a... Like anything, it's a tool, but it seems to be making advancements much quicker than any other tool I've ever remembered. Hold on to your hats for that one.
Are you worried about all that? You know, with this AI, I've heard lots of talk about AI. I mean, can they take over like everything?
I think there's two arguments, right? There's the argument, the Terminator argument. You know, that we're all going to be run over by machines, and humans will, you know, once computers work out that humans want to be happy, they'll basically just wire our mouths into a permanent smile. And, that's terrifying scenario.
Yeah.
And the other one, which I probably think is probably more accurate, is that the world will become a kinder place because we won't have to work as much.
Ooh.
And so this is my hope, that governments will start to reward us for being kind to one another. And I actually am seeing this with a lot of the younger generation. I'm seeing it with the Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift's a door. You really ask yourself, what is she promoting? Is it music more than performance? Is it performance more than music? Or is it something else? And I think it's something else. I think it's connection and kindness is what she's about. And I think the younger generations have grown up watching their parents work like dogs.
Yes.
And, you know, they don't want to, and good on them, they don't want to work like that. No. They think there's something better out there. And I think they'll embrace this AI technology.
Yeah.
And they are very concerned about each other and how we talk. You know, all the whole pronoun debate, whether you like it or hate it, is really about one group of people fending for another.
Yeah.
So we're kind of living through time. You can put a different lens on all these things, but I tend to put an optimistic one on them all, which is, from what I'm seeing, the younger generation are much more caring, inclusive. The woke pendulum can swing really hard one way or the other, but it'll find its centre.
Yeah.
So that's my view. But of course, 25 years from now, when I run into you in the street with your wired up smile and I've got my wired up smile, you go F myself.
No. No, I believe what you believe. I hope it does end up more kindness and stuff like that around the world. And you're right, the new generation, they are a lot kinder and a lot nicer to each other than we were growing up. Don't you reckon?
I think so. You know, I'm seeing that in my son and particularly in my grandkids.
But
they're very aware of emotion and all of that. And, like, you know, we only work like dogs because that was the agreement that we all had early on, because there wasn't anything that didn't work for us. And we had to go out and sow the fields, make all of our own, you know, clothes and all that stuff. But, you know, as machinery starts to take over from that, people will lose their jobs. But, you know, hopefully, maybe I'm just an insane optimist.
I love insane optimists.
Out of his mind. Your audience would be thinking that. This Jacobson bloke. And I'll say Jacobson bloke rather than my first name, because if that is what they're thinking, hopefully, because people get Shane and me mixed up.
I'd rather
have people go and go, I heard that Shane Jacobson say the most outrageous rubbish on the radio. You know, I don't want it to come back to me. I want it to come back to him.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Fair enough. Yeah.
That's fair, isn't it?
Yeah, bloody 100%.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Mate, can I just say,
there
should be a lot more people in this world like Clayton and a lot less than you, Tony. Yeah. You're a good man, Clayton. So kind and generous.
Well, that's very nice. Very nice. The truth of the matter is, my little brother is actually one of the kindest people I know. I make fun of him, but Shane is... You know, anyone that's ever worked with Shane or comes across him just always says the same thing. He's such a people person. I think if the world goes more in that direction, I think we'll be in a better place.
Well, we've got to get him on the show because he seems like a good guy.
Can I just ask about your dad? How's your dad? Because I've been saying that he's been dropped and he's back.
Well,
and
for those that don't know, my dad has been in a lot of my films. He's the reason I'm in films. He's in movies long before I was. Yeah. And we love Dad, and I've made some good money out of his cantankerous behaviour and language. Like, if ever I've had a blue with him, he'll say things that I'll go to him. I was telling him at the time, I'm going, that's going in a movie, Dad. Like, he actually said to me about 2 years ago when I tried to kick him out of the car when he was drunk having a go at me. I said, get out of the car, Dad. That's it. And he went, well, what a dirty dog you turned out to be. I said, that's a great line. I'm going to use that. so I put that in Brother's Nest. And then when he went to the premiere, he said, son, there were some scenes in that film that seemed strangely familiar to me. And I said, there should be. I stole it all from you, Father. And so we've had a pretty interesting relationship, you know, very close, but very, but he did a very, unfortunate thing about 5-6 months ago. He went to sleep in his lounge. He hates the cold. He went to sleep in front of his gas heater and he had a sugar low and went into a bit of a semi-coma and woke up at 3 a.m. with his whole left side bubbling. Was rushed to hospital and he's had skin grafts right down his whole left side. We didn't know if we were going to have him for long. And I actually said to him at the time, I said, you silly bastard, you're supposed to wait till you die before we cremate you, not before. You know what I mean?
Always cracking jokes.
mate, his sense of humour is so funny. He, and his sense of humour is so, Well, it's so inappropriate. Let me just say that. Like, because when they came to doing the skin grafts, I read on the thing that it said donor skin. And I said, oh, Dad, you've got donor skin. He goes, what the hell does that mean, son? And the nurse said, oh, Mr. Jacobson, that means you've got cadaver skin.
Oh.
And
I went,
what do you mean cadaver skin? And they said, yes, the skin of a dead person.
Oh.
And I went, oh, my God. And he went, Jesus Christ, what the hell? And then and she said, no, understand this. Because you're 89 years of age, you've had these horrible burns, your body is in shock, and we need to promote the healing. So we put the cadaver skin on, and that promotes the healing without actually adhering to the skin. And then when your body is ready, we'll take skin from you and put on the skin. He goes, oh, right, where are you going to get that skin from? And they said, well, we'll take that from your backside and from your thighs. And he said, there won't be enough skin on my ass and cover the other stuff. So, and she said, no, we put it through a machine which stretches it. And his response, and this is my dad saying, this is not me, he said, well, it's a good thing you're not taking it off my old fella. You'd have to put it through that machine 7 times.
He didn't say that. Was the nurse there when he said that?
He said it there with the nurse. And
oh my God.
I have to say, as embarrassing and as funny as it was, it gave me hope. I went, well, he's still got his sense of humour. Because I've always
known, it's good.
The minute my father loses his sense of humour, right, we literally can just tip him into the ground out the back of the house. You know, he's as good as dead. So he's doing well. We've had to, sadly, he went from being completely independent and driving cars and living on his own. It knocked his body around so much that the last 6 months have been hard on him.
Yeah.
And we've had to put him into permanent care.
But
this place is fantastic. It's just around the corner from where I am.
Yeah.
And you know, and it's and they're looking after all of his, you know, medical needs and all that. And I can drop in on him every day. So that's but we're used to only seeing him once every fortnight, so now I see him more often.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
And it's like a hotel in there.
It's
like, and he's got all these, you know, all these, he's surrounded by all these women that
he brought up the alley.
Yeah.
Oh, so good on you, mate. How old is he, Clayton?
89.
He's 89. Yeah, 89. He's just turned 89, and he had his birthday on his first day in there. And yeah, he's a funny fella. He has a bigger following than Shane and I put together.
Yeah, bloody hell.
People seem to love his honesty.
Yeah.
And it is old school. It's very much old school.
And
not sort of stuff our generation can be saying. But people seem to find that refreshing on some sort of level. And I'm sure we'll be the same when we're younger kids will find us. And you always remember your grandparents. You always found them.
Because they say what they think.
They say what they think. No bullshit.
Yeah.
That's right. They don't have the taboo meter, you know, and all this stuff, you know, because we've got to be careful what we say, and when you're older, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to die soon, so who gives a fuck?
I met him down at the boxing gym a few years ago.
Stop dropping names. Look at him dropping names again.
Very nice chap. Yeah. He helped me out for a bit there. I was trying to box there, you know.
Punched the shit out of him too.
And
This was only a couple of years ago.
Anyway, we've got I just got one more question for you, Clayton.
I know you're taking up so much of his time. Sorry about that, Clayton.
One more question. Now we're looking at getting a new video camera, and I just saw that the Kodak have released a Super 8 video camera. Do you know much about that?
Have they really? Like an actual Super 8 video camera?
It's just like a normal a video camera, you know, the normal, you know, the flip out thing, and it's got a screen, and you can plug a microphone in there, you can adjust the audio and all that.
They just released it.
Yeah, so how's that? That's amazing. You know, I have to think after, you know, it's like records bringing back records. Now they're bringing back Super 8. But yeah, if you go online, have a look. They're about $5,000 US. So, a
bit pricey. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Like I spent so much of my youth trying to get away from the Super 8. I got into video and I wanted in the square format. Why can't we have widescreen? And then we all went widescreen. Now all the kids are in square formats again. It's so interesting to watch.
Yeah.
You know, we were the same. I guess we were fascinated by the 50s and 60s. You know, I wanted to be Frank Sinatra, and you know, these were the things, because it's all the stuff that you watched and listened to when you were a baby, you know, that you absorb. So all those formative years when you're in your, you know, you know, from 1 to sort of 15, you're actually watching. I was born in 63, so, you know, the stuff I was listening to as a child was all the Croon stuff my dad loved. So it's no wonder that I still love that stuff, you know. So and I think it's why the 80s is so popular. I hated the 80s when I was in it. I didn't like it at all.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I don't like it, but the kids love the 80s. Yeah. They love it for all of its colour and madness and the music and, you know, so, you know, everything old is new again.
The 70s, 70s was the best, the 70s.
Yeah. I can't remember.
Yeah, I think we were lucky. I think we've lived through probably one of the best decades.
Yeah.
You know, I think the 80s was a pretty safe time, you know. We weren't out there screaming, you know, to the heavens, you know. It just seemed like a pretty safe, cozy sort of period. I mean, you know, the hardest decision you had to make in the morning was whether you're going to put mascara on or not. You know, like when I was at film school and that, you know, that was, androgyny was the thing, you know, in the 70s and 80s, you know. You know, Skyhooks, all those bands that we loved, you know, Sweet. Yes. You know, even Kiss, you know, there was a certain amount of androgyny about all of that. So it was interesting, and we loved it, the dress-ups, all that stuff.
David Bowie,
Well, we'll have to get you one of our skits, mate, the way you're going. You sound like, you love acting, so...
Yeah.
Don't try it, mate. Sorry about that, Clayton. He's just fishing and fishing and fishing. We're going to come and see you because you're such a great bloke. And we really want to come and see what you're up to there every day.
We'll come up
here. I mean, you're flat out busy all the time. So,
it'd be good.
No, well, mate, we'll give us a hoy. Come on over and we'll show you around.
You got a coffee machine up there?
we have got a coffee machine, but as I say, we'll take you around to the
cannoli.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
All right, it's good, mate.
The ladies will make you a fabulous drink there, and it's, you know, genuine food, really beautiful.
No worries. Tony will bring his wallet, and he's going to shout us all, okay? Even the ladies.
And appreciate you looking at our short film too.
Yeah, so that was, mate. Thank you very much for that feedback.
Thank you
was
for
awesome.
It. I did enjoy it very much. I love that thing when you wake up and you go, I'm alive. my dad has always said, any good day when your feet hit the ground is a good day.
It was good. Oh, thanks for that. Thanks. Yeah. So there is a future for us.
Oh, shut up. Stop fishing. He's fishing for compliments.
Yeah, we've got to go and watch.
Thank you very much, Clayton. You're a bloody legend, mate. And we're definitely going to come and see you very shortly, very soon.
Yep.
Good on you, Dom. Good on you, Tane. Take care, guys. Speak soon.
Big hand for Clayton Jacobson. You fucking legend. We love you. Thanks, mate. Clayton Jackson, what a great bloke, mate. We didn't even ask him about a critique on our movie. You know that little short film that we did? And he was saying nice about it.
Yes.
He loved that dick off.
Yes,
what a nice guy.
Well, let's hope that he's honest about that, but...
What do you mean, mate? He doesn't do shit.
I think he did like it. Yeah, I think he did like it, which is good. You know, I was a bit reluctant to send it to him because, you know, they're very high caliber director there, and we're just a couple of shumps turning on the camera and making a movie. But, you know, you got to start somewhere.
Well, we took a leaf out of his book because, remember, we shot, like... The scene after scene after scene because he shot it in sequence, that's the movie.
So we virtually copied what he did.
Yeah.
Oh, it's nothing original about that, is it?
Well, mate, that's anyway. A form of what is it? What do they say? It's a form of flattery. Well, when you copy someone.
Yeah, well,
I mean, it wasn't the same movie. It was just the way it was in the sequence.
Yes,
that's
I know. Then people say Quentin Tarantino was an original artist, but he even say that to himself that he copied a lot of movies from the 70s and copied Sergio Leone, who made those Western spaghetti westerns.
Yeah.
Can you name a Sergio Leone movie?
Yeah, there's heaps of them. For a few dollars more, all that sort of shit.
Yeah. He did money for Cleese.
A few dollars more. The first one was probably the best one
I think he's ever made. Once Upon a Time in the West.
That was a good show. With
Henry Fonda. Henry Fonda. You ever seen it?
No.
That's a movie you have to see, but it's probably...
Yeah.
Talking about filmmaking, it's probably the longest movie. I think the credits go for 15 minutes.
Oh, my God! Bigger than Ben-Hur!
Yeah, anyway. But how good was Clayton to have on? And he's invited us up to his dream screen up there in Epping. And we can go over there. And
and we're going to go and watch him play because, you know, his band is pretty good.
Well, they only play, I think, a couple of
years. Yeah, I know, but when they play, will they get them?
Yeah. But anyway, that's pretty much it for today. But before you go, if you like the show, please subscribe to our...
We've got 100 subscribers. Can I just say that?
Hang on.
Oh, my God, we've got 100 subscribers. Oh, I was going to like have a couple of drinks, me and Mum.
Yeah, I know. That's our YouTube channel.
Yeah, on our YouTube
100
channel.
100 subscribers.
100 subscribers. You know, that might sound like a lot. I know, we were sitting on 60 for
They always say if you hit 100, that's a start.
That's the start,
But the next thing, 500, 1,000, 2,000,
In your dreams, mate. Get off it, will
you? You know what I mean? Yeah. So anyway, Mr. Interruption then, that's what you interrupt. One of the rudest persons I've met in my life.
I apologise.
But I like you, Don, because, you know, every time I see you, I feel better when I look at you.
Because I'm such a loser. Mate, you get new jokes. You're the only one that laughs. Nobody else is laughing.
So if you like our show, please subscribe to our Shumpcast podcast there. Yeah. You know, and you can hear us on Apple, Spotify.
Yes.
Podbean or wherever you hear your podcast. Yes. And also our YouTube channel there, The Shumps. Always type in the and then Shumps. Chumps. People get confused.
Yeah.
They don't know what the Shump is.
And what a great bloke, Jake.
You said it 15 times, mate. Have a break,
I'm
mate.
Just trying to cut
thing,
you
know.
Just you know,
That pretty much wraps up the show. And like I always say, there should be more people like Clayton Jacobson and less people like you, Dom Sabato.
Good one,
yeah.
Come up with that one.
That's now. So, that's about wraps it up, and thank God for that.
No, really, I'm trying to get out.
You know, if the heat out there, 38 degrees,
it's
and you.
Bloody hot. I'm melting.
Yeah. Anyway.
What?
I'm Tony Shump from Elf Now, Dylan.
And I'm Dominic Antonio Sorbata.
And we'll see you next time on Shumpcast.